Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have given this opportunity to taste the glimpse of heaven, even on earth, especially today, as you pour out your Holy Spirit to each one of us and in our midst, as we gather as a community of God, you pour out your presence here. Father, we confess that nothing is more powerful than your presence and your Holy Spirit that we experience in our life, because that gives us assurance of your power, your glory, and your majesty in our midst. Thank you that Lord Jesus is your Son, and he came to us to present yourself so that we would know the heart of God through Jesus Christ. We give all the honor and glory to the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and let this worship be continued to be given from the bottom of our heart to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, when you follow someone, you need to make sure if it is worth to follow that person. And the decision to follow someone or not follow should be based on the worth of that person. For those who follow Jesus, this decision is not like following someone in the Facebook or Twitter. If Jesus is God. And for those who do not follow Jesus, this decision is also not a casual matter if Jesus is God. What if Jesus is not God? Then it really doesn't matter whether you follow Jesus or not. Jesus would essentially be just like another great person. He would be no different from many great figures of history, or some living great figures in our days. So if Jesus is not God, following him could be just optional. But what if Jesus is indeed God? Then it becomes really a serious matter whether you follow him or not. For those who follow him, that is the great thing that can happen in your life and in your life eternal. And all the effort and time you put in to follow Jesus will certainly pay off someday, and it is by far the most worthy thing that you can do in your life. But for those who make their decision not to follow him, this would be by far the worst thing that can happen with serious eternal impact, because they have rejected God. So the question is Jesus God? This is a serious question you and I should ask. If he is not God, then we really don't need to gather here to worship him on every Sunday morning. It would be unworthy to worship Jesus if Jesus is not God. And all our missions are futile, and all our effort and time and services and sacrifice would be futile. And for me, all my seminary education would be also useless if Jesus is not God. And worse yet, all our worship would be not only useless but also idolatrous if Jesus is not God. Everything is hinged upon the fact that Jesus is God or not. So if Jesus is God, then everything will be completely opposite. Our worship is worthy, our mission is worthy, and our life investment and effort and time are all worthy on earth and eternally worthy in all eternity. So the question I'd like to raise this morning is, did Jesus really claim that he is God? What does Jesus say who he is? These are the right questions we ought to ask ourselves. We should be clear on our answers to these questions and establish our life based on the answers from Jesus, you know, answers from Jesus himself. So this morning, as we continue on the Gospel of John, we came across chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Gospel of John is so important. And somehow Holy Spirit put 8 statements of Jesus into this one chapter. The Gospel writer John, as he remembered what Jesus has done and what Jesus has said, he put this single chapter as a central place for Jesus' identity. Would you please turn with me to Gospel of John 8. We are going to find 8 places where Jesus claimed who he is. Let's turn verse 12, John 8, 12. Also written on the screen, if you don't have your Bible with you. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." The Jewish people know that Yahweh is the light of the world. Micah 7:8, "Lord is a light for me." And Psalm 118:27, "The Lord is God, and he has given us light." So the Jewish people fully well know that only God can be the light of the world. And in the New Testament, when Jesus was preaching in the court of the temple, he said, "I am the light of the world." So basically, Jesus is claiming only God can claim. You know, if you hear someone on the street saying, "He is the light of the world," or "She is the light of the world," what do you think? You would think, you know, I obviously think, you know, if anyone's claiming that he is the light of the world, I would think he is insane. He's a crazy guy. Or she is a crazy person, whatever. And imagine 2,000 years ago, Jesus, in the court of the temple, said, "I am the light of the world." This was a very provocative and controversial and even insane, unless Jesus is indeed God. And the Jewish authority who know the Old Testament full well know the full implication of what Jesus was saying in this verse. And the second part is verse 18. Jesus said, "I am he who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." You know, Jewish court requires at least 2 witnesses for any case to make the case the valid. You know, even in the United States, 1 witness is not good enough. I went to court, you know, maybe last year. I was picked up as a jury duty, you know, jury. It was an alcohol case. And then the prosecutor asked all the jury, the candidate, "Would you mind if there's only 1 eyewitness of this case?" So he's tried to filter who should be on the jury or not. And and the prosecutor asked every person, "If you have a problem, you know, having only 1 eyewitness for this case, raise your hand." So I raised my hand, and then and obviously, I wasn't picked up as the final 12 jury because they think that I'm going to oppose against the case. But here Jesus is saying, I am he who bear witnesses of myself. And the Father who sent me bears witness of me. So Jesus is basically saying that he does not need anyone to bear witness of him about who he is. And only Father be the candidate for bearing witness of himself. So this is actually a very provocative statement, controversial statement too. Jesus basically, saying this statement because he is the divine God. God does not need any witness because he is the initiator. He is the Alpha and Omega. He doesn't need any, the witnesses for any case. Jesus is basically saying that only Father can bear witness of me. God can, only God can be his witness. Basically, he's saying he's not the same as the rest of the humanity. There's another one, number three, verse 19. You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you'd know my Father also. You know, Jesus claims that to know him is to know the Father. And a lot of Jewish people back then did not know Jesus, but they thought they know the Father. But Jesus is claiming here, unless you know me, you do not know my Father. Because they don't know Jesus, they don't know God. And again, this is Jesus is claiming that he and the Father are equal. You know, we live in our days. This is very controversial topic. A lot of people think that they can know God without knowing Jesus. But Jesus, if he were to be here, he would claim the same thing. Unless you know me, you do not know God. And he is basically claiming that he and the Father are co-equal. So this would be another insight that Jesus reveals about who he is. And the first one, found in verse 23, you are from below, I am from above. Jesus is differentiating his origin from the rest of the religious authority. Jesus is not just another teacher, another prophet, or another rabbi. He is from above. He identifies himself as radically different from the great human figures in the religious authority. So he's basically indirectly claiming that he is divine. The fifth one, verse 24. For unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You know, this is another big statement. What stakes here is that Jesus claims that failure to believe in him will cause death in sin. And no one can save but Jesus. You know, this implies that he is the Messiah, he is the Redeemer, he is the Savior of the world, he is the Savior of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth, I am the Savior, basically Jesus is saying. There are no Savior other than Jesus himself. And through him and only through him, a person can enter into the kingdom of God by believing in him according to Jesus. So there is only one way to be saved, that is by believing in Him. And if you look at the Greek manuscript of this verse 24, actually Jesus said, unless you believe that, ego eimi, there's no he. Ego eimi, that literally means I am. I am is a sacred name of God. God said to Moses for the first time, I am who I am. You know, Moses wondered in the burning bush about those the presence of God, and he asked God's name, and God introduced his name, I am who I am. And I am in Greek is ego, eimi. It's a sacred name of God revealed for the first time to humanity, to Moses. And Jesus is basically saying that unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. So here Jesus is alluding that he has the same sacred name as the God of Moses, Yahweh. And this is the nature of God who is ever present. I am is the nature of God who is transcendent over time. Because he made time, he started the time, God is above time. And God cannot be bound by time. And that's the name of God, I am, means ever-present God. And here Jesus is claiming that he is I am. So with this claim, the Jewish religious authority began to be more stirred up and asked Jesus, who are you? They genuinely thought Jesus was insane because only God can claim what he has been claiming. They didn't have faith in Jesus. They didn't believe that Jesus is God, and therefore they concluded that Jesus is insane. But if Jesus is not insane, there's only one choice. Jesus is indeed God. There's number 6, verse 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. You know, here Jesus claims the obedience to his word has authority over death and life. You know, only God has authority over death and life. Jeremiah 21:8, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. You know, Jesus claims that his word has the authority of God. You know, that's why I think Bible is so important, especially the gospel, four gospels that we have. They have written down the word of Jesus, word for word, as each author of the Bible, gospel writers, remembers or gets some other, direct witnesses of recollection of Jesus. They have written down what Jesus has said, especially Gospel of John. John was the direct witness of Jesus. Every word written in the book of the Gospel of John, as the youngest, the disciple of Jesus, he somewhat compiled every word that Jesus spoken. And he couldn't put everything here, but he basically said most important thing that Jesus spoken in the Gospel of John. And each and every word Jesus said has the authority of God, authority of life and death. That's why we need to heed to each and every word of Jesus Christ in the Bible, from the Bible. And verse 54, this is another amazing statement. It is my Father who glorifies me. You know, this is only possible if Jesus is equal to the Father in nature. Jesus cannot receive glory from the Father unless he is God. You know, God glorifies God. God would not glorify man. You know, Jesus did not explicitly said, "I am God." But all the statements of Jesus concerning his identity that we have explored from the chapter 8 of the Gospel of John reveal that he is God. And after hearing this statement, the Jews accused Jesus of demon possession. They really thought he was demon, he was possessed by a demon, and they continued to be agitated. But when Jesus made his last statement about his nature, the Jews tried to kill him for blasphemy. Look at the last portion. Let's read from 56 to 58. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. And the Jews therefore said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am.'" So here Jesus told them about 2,000 years earlier, Abraham had foreseen Jesus. There are 2,000 years gap between Abraham and Jesus. And Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Somewhat, God showed Abraham, the one who will come as a descendant of his. But he, before Jesus came as a descendant of Abraham, Abraham already see the presence of Jesus in his days. Upon hearing Jesus' word, the Jewish people responded, and their response was incredulous. They couldn't believe it. And they responded, "You are not even 50 years old, and can you say that you have seen Abraham?" And Jesus shocked them even more. "Before Abraham was born, I am." You know, out of blue, Jesus claimed his timeless existence, eternal existence. He claimed that he is a transcendent being here. And furthermore, he had used again the "I am" title. "Before Abraham was born, I am." And he should have said, "I was." But he said, "I am." To emphasize that he is a transcendent being. So this was the most shocking to the Jews, and they lived and breathed the Old Testament scripture declaring Yahweh alone as God. And they knew the scripture spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah 43, 10 and 11, it says, "And understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me." That's what Yahweh was claiming in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, Jesus is claiming exactly the same thing that only Yahweh can claim, only God can claim. And the Jewish people didn't even call the name of God in the fear that they might call the name of God in vain. But here Jesus, not only claiming that he is transcendent, all independent of all creation, ever-present being, but also claiming, calling the name of God, "I am." I am means Yahweh. This was obviously a blasphemous act if Jesus is not God. And the Jewish people were convinced that Jesus was demon possessed, and his claim that he is God deserved the penalty for blasphemy. That's why they tried to capture him and kill him by stoning. But look at verse 59, and therefore they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So that's the end of Gospel of John chapter 8. I believe this chapter 8 is one of the crucial chapters of the Bible that we need to be familiarized about the identity of Jesus Christ. So if you summarize what Jesus said in these eight places, we can have these five synthetic conclusion. First, Jesus claimed the authority of God in his word. So whatever he says has authority of God. Something that we should trust and we should take and then obey, because it has the authority of God in each and every statement Jesus spoke. And second thing, Jesus claimed the authority to determine life and death. He has given the authority to determine life and death. That means he is the only Savior. And third one, he claimed the authority to forgive sin. Only God can forgive, and he has this authority. He is the only Savior. No one else can forgive our sin. We have to confess before Jesus all the wrong things and iniquities and transgressions that we have made in life, and confess before him in the name of Jesus and believe in his name to be able to be forgiven. And fourth thing, Jesus claimed his nature of being transcendent, all independent of all creation, an ever-present being, which is God's nature. Jesus was, and Jesus is, and Jesus will be. And lastly, Jesus used God's name for himself. What that means is he has the same nature as the Father, the God Almighty, the Creator, and the Redeemer and Sustainer. Jesus shares the same nature. Jesus is not the Father. Father is not the Son, but they are of the same nature. He's divine, based on what Jesus is claiming himself to be. If you look at the book of Revelation, written by the same writer, John himself, which is the last book of the Bible, Revelation 1:8, God says this, "I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." So Gospel writer John, when he received this revelation from God, God spoke to him directly, and then he wrote it down. Revelation 1:8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." But in the last chapter of Revelation 22, in verse 13, Gospel writer John received the voice of Jesus, who says this portion, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." That's what Jesus spoke to John, and he wrote it down. So again, Jesus claims that he is the Alpha and the Omega. Only God can claim he is Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is claiming the same thing in the same book. Basically, Jesus claimed him to be God. You know, I think, why is this so important? You know, I think you have heard over and over again about who Jesus is. But I think this is probably the most important, the truth about Jesus that impacts our life so much, so significantly. So that's why we need to be reminded of, you know, over and over again. For those who do not believe yet in Jesus, therefore not following him, that means you are opposing God. It's not, there's no neutral. Jesus did not leave any room for being neutral. Jesus, and desires each one of us to make a decision whether we follow him or oppose him. If you're saying, I don't know myself, actually there is no middle ground here. If you think that you're not convinced, you're going to stay in the middle, that means you're actually opposing him, according to Jesus. So for those who do not believe in Jesus yet and therefore not following him, you are opposing God. And you are not saved. And you will not enter the kingdom of God. You will not go to heaven. And you will enter instead eternal judgment, hell. And you live in despair. And each passing day, you are one step closer to eternal darkness. Life will not be any better if you do not believe in Jesus and not following him. It will be getting worse. This life is bad enough. If you fail, then your future will be even worse, much worse than today. So you basically live in despair. But there is hope. You don't have to stay in that position. You must repent all your sins and believe in Jesus who died for your sins and receive him as your Savior and Lord, even today. You can make your decision even today to be at the side of Jesus, not only to believe in him and follow him, because he is worthy to follow. And believe in him and follow him. And for those who believe in him and follow him, you are God's children. You have an eternal stamp in your heart, eternal certification, so to speak, that Holy Spirit put as a seal in you that you are children of God if you believe in Jesus. And you are saved, and your worship is worthy to God. Your eternity is all set, and your life is really meaningful, and your ministry is worthy and pleasing to God, and your offering counts an eternally treasure in heaven, and your services and sacrifice will be redeemed by God, and you have the Savior in this world and for the rest of your eternity. And he is with you and loves you always. And each passing day, you are one step closer to this eternal hope. You know, hope has to be understood from the realm of eternity. Otherwise, it's not hope. It's just wishes and dreams, but we have much more valuable than just dreams and wishes, which is called hope. Hope of eternity. Hope that we can see Jesus in heaven. And hope that we can see every Christian that we know in heaven. And for, you know, the Jubilee Church, all our prayers that said in the name of Jesus are really heard by God. and all our Christ-centric worship is a fragrant aroma to God. And all our ministry and missions that are commissioned by Jesus are worthy and eternally worthy. And there will be redemption, there will be reward of your services and your time and your effort and poured out for the ministry of Jesus Christ. So because Jesus is God, it is all the more worthy for each one of us to live for Him in whatever we do. So cultivate a true, intimate relationship with Jesus. And over again, this, if we are successful in doing that, actually our life is successful. Having this relationship. You know, we are created not just to do, but to be. To be at the presence of God in Jesus, in Holy Spirit. And love people as Jesus loves you, and get involved in ministry. And invest your life for the kingdom of God. And share the witness of Jesus to the people. Because this work, evangelism and mission, is really worthy to Jesus, because it's not just work on the earth, but this will be rewarded in all eternity. And you are going to see the people who you share the gospel to in all eternity if they believed according to God's plan. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are in awestruck wonder of your claim. Those eight statements we have seen from the Gospel of John are indeed shaking our heart and mind, because this is about who you are and who you claim yourself to be. We thank you for each and every word you spoke about yourself. As we believe in you, that gives us confidence, that gives us assurance, that gives us the peace of God. Let our life be a fragrance to you by trusting in you, by following you, by obeying your word. Holy Spirit, just come in our midst and convict each one of us this day. If there is any person who doubts, or person who have not made his or her decision of life to take Jesus as Lord and Savior, just help us so that we would be able to accept Lord Jesus as our Savior and follow Him in all cost, which is worthy and eternally worthy. And we thank you in Christ's name. We pray. Amen.
a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flows deep and all the love I ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down
at the cross.
At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame. With God, forgive them. Where all the love I ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down at the cross. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you at the cross. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you. Hear my hope. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground, here I bow down, here I bow down, here arms open wide, here you save my life, here I bow down, here I bow at the cross. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you.
This song.
place in heaven, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. You may be seated. Actually, we have a mission report, which will take place. Maybe in 5 minutes, why don't you get your donuts and coffee, and then come back and sit down. Do not leave before you see this great mission report from Costa Rica.